How y'all doing?
All right, that was pretty lousy.
It's gonna be a long night, guys. Come on now. Y'all doing all right?
Amen.
Okay, all right. Romans chapter 1. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day you've given us, Lord. I thank you for your word and for your people. Lord, I just ask that you help us tonight, help Gosha, help Brother Steve and myself as we try to be a blessing tonight, Lord. I just ask that you speak through us. I ask, Lord, that you just work on the hearts, Lord, that are here in this room. Lord, that you just allow us to remember some things, remind us of some things, Lord. Give us clarity. Help us just to clear our minds of the things that we're working on, things that we've done today, Lord, our problems that are going to be waiting for us when we get home, and things we have to do tomorrow. Just help us to just enjoy the time that we have with you tonight, and we ask that you speak to us. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. It says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. That phrase right there where it says, I am ready. You know, when we come to this week and we come and we listen to the preaching, trying to get reminded again of what is important, why we're here, why the church exists. You know, there's a misconception, or sometimes we get deceived, and we think that church is somehow needs to be for us, the fellowship. And if we don't get the right amount, the right kind of fellowship, church is failing us. But you know, church isn't about fellowship. You know, I mean, it's good. I like the fellowship, and I think last night when we were listening to Josh, he was talking about he likes coming back here. He likes, you know, being around the brethren. We all understand. We all know. I like coming here. I like from day one, even before I was saved and I walked in the doors, it was just like it was really, really homey, you know. If that's a word, is that still a word? I don't know. I don't know if that means the same thing. I don't know. Who knows? But I felt at home when I walked in, you know, and it might be because when I drove up, I looked at the building, it looks like a bonanza, you know, so, you know, made me feel, you know, right at home thinking, man, what, maybe it had some good food in there. But, you know, so fellowship is definitely important, but we're not here for fellowship. You know, it's good. Also, you know, we're not here for seminars or good teachings. That's important. You know, I'm glad I'm in a place where I get good teachings. I'm glad I'm in a place where I'm learning. I'm glad I'm in a place where they're telling me how to live, how to be more Christ-like. That's very important. But, you know, it doesn't take away from me studying at home. You know, it doesn't take away from my personal relationship with Christ. I can't just expect to come here and just be fed or be taught here. No, it's something that needs to be part of my life. So this building or this group, as we gather, it's not for just that. Also for worship. I mean, if it was for teaching, if it was just for, fellowship, I mean, you know, the Lord would have called us home a long time ago. Because we're going to have a good reunion day that day, you know. We're going to have some good fellowship, you know, when we're in the presence of the Lord. You know, all the saints have gone before us, and I'm talking about the ones that we actually know and we've had an opportunity to be around. You know, we're going to be around them, and we're going to be worshiping God. It's going to be a good place. And, you know, talk about good worship. You know, I know sometimes we come in here and the worship, you know, that we participate in, maybe we're you know, it's not... We're not in it, you know, completely, or, you know, we're singing half-heartedly or whatever it is. But in that day, I don't think we're going to be, you know, half-heartedly singing. I think we're going to be worshiping God in the truest, form of the word. So if it was about worship, then I think the Lord would already have taken us home. And I don't think it's also about joy, you know, because I mean, I think we need to be joyful. And I think coming here and being around certain people, and I know not everybody brings us joy, right? Sometimes you have to watch and who you tell how are things going, because then they tell you how things are going, and you wish you wouldn't have asked them. But joy is important. Joy is something that I think, you know, like over there in Nehemiah, where it says, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, I think it's something that helps us, you know, live and helps us, you know, walk. I think joy is very important. It's a fruit of the Spirit. I think it's something that's needful, not only in us, but, you know, in the church. But the church exists for one reason. We're still here for one reason, and that is to take the gospel. That's why we're here. That's why God saved us. That's why God gave us the opportunity not only to save us and put us in a Bible-believing church, but we're here to give the gospel. And sometimes, I mean, when you think about that, and I know we have stages. I know when I first got here, I told myself, I'm never going to stand up and share in an open meeting. Just no way. And it wasn't that long that I was standing up and sharing in the meeting. I'm thinking, man, I didn't think I was going to be able to do this, but you know, I can do this. I can, you know, also give, you know, what God gave me and maybe help somebody out and preach it on the streets. Forget about it. Never thought I'd do that. And you know, there I was preaching on the streets. So I know the process sometimes scares us, or the growth sometimes scares us. Even you know, growing up, I think a lot of you know, the kids that are here, they probably, you know, I'm talking about the little ones, you know, 8, 9, 10, they don't think about leaving the house right now. I mean, that's not even in their mind, you know. They to leave the house to start paying rent, to, you know, buy their own groceries, that's the farthest thing from their mind. But once they start getting close to 18 years old, you know, once they start getting close to, you know, leaving the house, then it could probably get pretty scary, you know, actually leaving the house and being on your own. And so when you get closer to that age, you start getting fears and doubts and a whole bunch of other things. But you know what? Lots of people have done that before us. You know, I mean, a bunch of people in this room have left their house and, you know, you guys ended up okay. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, process that we can't handle. Well, you know, preaching the gospel or sharing the gospel or giving the gospel to somebody is something that should be very, very part of our lives. And I think right here, when Paul says that I am ready, that is an incredible statement. What if you look up that word ready, it's completely prepared to do something. It says in fit condition for immediate action. Are you ready to give the gospel? I mean, because you can't just expect to do something if you're not truly ready to do it. And it really isn't that hard. But there is some steps. There is some things that I think are very important for us to consider when we think about being ready to give the gospel. And you know, he didn't care. Paul didn't care if it was trials or the persecution or, you know, the hunger or whatever it was. He was ready. He was ready to go to Rome, you know, to preach the gospel. He was ready to, you know, give the hope that was in him. He was ready to do it. I think you and I, sometimes we think we can't do it, you know, and maybe we're overthinking it. Maybe we're saying, you know, well, giving the gospel to somebody is not my gift. But you know what? It's all our responsibility. Look what it says over there in Acts chapter 8. I read something from a book from Charles Spurgeon, and it said, I'm sure I'm going to butcher the the quote, but it went something like he said something like, you don't have to prove to me that you're called to be a missionary. He said, because we're all called. Every one of us, you know, are called to give the gospel. You know, that's where he was getting at. You don't have to prove that to me, because if you're saved, if you're a born-again believer, you are called. But he says, you have to prove to me that you're called not to go, not to do it, to stay. And you know, that's something I think, you know, some people struggle with, you know, and they're thinking, well, since I'm not going somewhere and I'm staying behind, I don't have that responsibility to do it. But you're wrong. You have the responsibility to do it. And I want to use Acts chapter 8 to show you or to remind ourselves again that it's not that difficult. But we really have to put these things into practice. And we're going to start off at Acts chapter 8 in verse 26. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem and unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in the chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from him, from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Asodus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. You know, a few things, five things I just want to mention, and I think that it's very evident here to remind us how simple, and it really is simple, it should be simple, to give the gospel, to just, one, give them what you know. Right? I mean, if you're saved, if you're a believer, if you have Christ in you and God saved you, then you should know how to be saved. It's not that difficult, right? I mean, getting to that stage, trusting God, walking up to somebody, and just imagine this. This guy was on a cart reading out loud, obviously, right? It says there in verse 30 that you heard him read, right? Have you seen those people on the side of the street or walking downtown? They're talking to themselves and you go, who's this guy talking to? You know, and I know it's kind of hard sometimes because some people wear Bluetooth and you're thinking, is he talking to me? But he's actually hearing this guy and he's talking out loud. He's reading something and then he takes the initiative and goes up to him. Why? Well, because I think he was listening to the Holy Spirit. I think that is the first thing that we have to understand, that is God that is telling us what we should be doing. If the Holy Spirit lives in you, and if you're saved, then I think it's something that we need to be in tune. We need to listen to what God is telling you to do. Have you ever been in a situation where you should have spoken to somebody and you missed that opportunity?
Yeah.
And they died. And they died. Look, I have a lot of friends back home. And, you know, sometimes I run into them and most of the time I'll say something. Most of the time I'll, you know, give them something. But there's sometimes, and it's mainly, I think it's my own heart deceiving myself, because, you know, sometimes I'll run into a person who I actually run around with. You know, and I'm thinking, man, well, this guy, he knows exactly who I was. You know, I have like no pull whatsoever with it. And so I start deceiving myself thinking it's useless. I'm not going to be of any benefit, which is a lie. Yeah. Who are we trusting in? Ourselves?
Yeah. Right.
Or are we trusting in what God can do?
Amen.
Because, you know, if God saved you, and I look at myself, if God was able to save me, well, then he could definitely change their mind. He could definitely change their heart. But there's opportunities that sometimes God is telling you, you need to speak to this person. You need to open your mouth. You need to tell them that he needs to be saved. And you don't do it. You know, I've been a missionary a while. And I remember, being convicted lots of times, speaking to my dad, talking to him, and it always ended up in a fight, you know, not obviously, you know, verbal or punches or anything, but it was just we always butted heads on that. You know, and sometimes I just kind of ended it or whatever. But, you know, there was one time where, and it was a day before that my dad went to be he died. I'm hoping he's with the Lord. But it was during a mission conference and we were here. And my father called the church, right? He called the church looking for me. I spoke to him on the phone. I gave him the gospel. God allowed me to talk to him. God, I just felt at that moment I had to give him the gospel. I had to tell him one more time. And God allowed me. He just opened that door. And you might think, well, you know, that's pretty strange. You know, so he called you here at this church. Who answers that? We didn't have a phone anymore, correct? I mean, but who answers the phone here? I think back in the day we had the phone hooked up just to an answering machine, right? I mean, no one used the phone. My dad calls me and they find me and I go talk to him, and the next day he dies. Now, I don't know. I told my dad, you need to ask God to forgive you and save your soul today. Tomorrow I'll speak to you. Tomorrow I'll be home. I'll get there right after the meeting. I'll leave right after the meeting and we'll sit down and talk about this. And he said, son, this is exactly what I want to talk about. So I said, well, don't wait. Just do it. He said, I'll do it. You know, he died the next day. I got the message. He died the next day. I preached that night. I went home. You know, when I went into his room, I opened up his Bible, because I'd given him a Bible a long time ago. And there was a little track in there, the yellow one that we still use. Right? In the back of that track, because it was really troubling me. How did he know the phone number to this church? You know, I mean, it's like we had the internet back then. You know, I mean, and if we did, I don't think he'd know how to Google anything. But I mean, how did he have that number? You know, and so I'm thinking, was my dad reading the Bible? Was my dad reading that track? Did my dad look at that phone number and said, I want to call my son because the priest doesn't have anything for me. My son has something for me. We have an opportunity. I think we're led, and sometimes we don't understand. If you look at this verse, look what it says there in verse 26. He says, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. You know, I mean, Where exactly is that? You know, so God sent him to a desert. You know, God sent him somewhere where maybe if it was me, I'm going through my head, what's there? I mean, there's probably nobody there, right? But there was definitely a divine appointment. Somebody was going to be at that spot, and he had to be there. You know, I really do believe that God, you know, and I'm not, you know, I'm not saying God speaks to us in an audible voice, or I don't hear voices or anything like that, but I definitely believe that God speaks to us. Yeah. He definitely gives us direction. He definitely gives us peace about doing some things. You know, my sister, my oldest sister, about 8 years ago, I want to say, 9 years ago, she came down to visit me in Toluca. Right? She came down and she brought my mom. When she came down, I was truly seeking God, and I was telling myself, I was asking, what am I going to do with my sister and my mom? You know, I mean, it's not like they haven't heard the gospel. It's not like, you know, I haven't told them about the gospel. And they're going to be with me for 2 weeks. And I got this idea, and I think it was God. To me, I felt like God was telling me, take them to the Catholic temples. I'm thinking, what? You know, I want them to be, you know, Christian. Why am I going to take them to a Catholic temples? And then it dawned on me. Catholicism in Mexico is so different than the States. I mean, night and day. So what I did is I took them to the cathedral in Toluca. I took them to other temples in Toluca. I took them to the cathedral in Morelia. I took them to different churches, and at the same time, we were also meeting. So they got the contrast, right? They got Catholicism, and I'm talking about people walking on their knees. I'm talking about people putting letters in coffins with images inside. I'm talking about they saw a side of Catholicism that they'd never seen in the States. And they were confused. They were perplexed. They go, why are these people doing it? And then they would go to our meetings. Hey, these people are a little different. They have a joy about them. They have a security about them. They have a confidence about them. You know, God saves people with means that you and I would probably never guess. We think we have the right ideas. We think, you know, sometimes we just need to ask God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to do it? You know, 2 weeks of that, she goes home. Before she goes home, she tells me, do you have any literature for me? Because I want to take literature with me so I can read it. And I went in my office. I got any English literature that I possibly could get. Just put it in a bag. I gave it to her. Couple of weeks passed. She calls me up. And she said, you know what? I've been thinking. I can't stop thinking about what happened, my visit. I took our mother down there to visit you, but the whole trip was for me. She said, when you come down here, I want you to talk to me about your religion. Because you guys have something that I don't. And we're talking about, I'm talking about, my sister went to Mass every single day. Every single day. She was there. 6 o'clock in the morning, she was there. God leads you. Yeah. You need to listen. Amen. And sometimes it doesn't make sense. Because really, that made no sense to me, taking my mom and taking my sister to Catholic Church. But it was exactly what they needed. It opened their eyes. We hung up the phone, I packed my bags, and I went. I got to her house, I gave her the gospel, she believed the gospel. She asked me, what do I do with these images? Throw them away. She put them right in the trash can. Incredible. My mom hears. I'm thinking, oh man, this is it, you know? This is my older sister, my mom hears. She calls me and she says, I want you to come to my house right now. And I said, okay. And she says, the same thing you told your sister, I want you to tell me, because I too want that.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
An incredible thing, just listening, just being able to listen to the Holy Spirit. And listen to me, I know when you know, at least me, when people start talking about Holy Spirit and listening, and you're thinking, man, you like a little Pentecostal. God puts the Holy Spirit in us. We have the mind of Christ. We if we are in tune with Him, He speaks to us. Again, if you're hearing voices at night, stay away from pepperoni, maybe, before you go to bed. I'm not too sure, but God doesn't speak in that audible anymore. We got this.
Amen.
But He does speak to us. You know, another thing here in verse 29. Look what it says in verse 29. So He goes up next to him. He says, then the Spirit said unto him, Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. You know, that reminded me. He's walking. He hasn't jumped on yet. Right. So this chariot is just moving. And he's walking right next to it. And he's listening. Right. This guy's reading out loud and he's listening just for the right moment. You know what? Lots of times when you and I, when we're living life and we should be ready to give the gospel, we have opportunities to give the gospel to people that we're just walking with, just living life with them, you know, just being friends with them, just being able to talk to them, just that opportunity to be able to speak to them. You know, we have a guy there in Puebla, Ricardo, who's, man, he's a real blessing. He's preaching with us. He's given studies. He's in charge of the meetings right now while Steve and I are gone. Steven has studies with him, you know, trying to, you know, because I'm kind of old, you know. He's a younger guy like Steven, right? And so I'm more like a dad to him, I guess. But when I met him, at a taco stand, you know. God told me, aren't you hungry? You know, I can eat. So I show up to this taco stand and here's Ricardo chopping meat. And we start talking, right? I start giving him the gospel. We start a friendship. I come back more, you know, more often. I have to now, right? So I have to go there and have my taco after getting done preaching because Ricardo's working. But you know, God, I think God gives you so many opportunities in life for people that are right next to you, not so much in another country or another city, just people around you, family, coworkers, whoever they are. Of course, sometimes we're intimidated because we're thinking, well, I haven't lived the best life around them. Well, then you better change some things. You know, you might try to be a little bit more humble. And if you start giving the gospel and they say, hey, yeah, but what about what you were talking about the other day? Well, you need to ask for forgiveness. You need to say, yeah, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry. I wasn't acting Christian like back then. But I don't take this against Christ. You need to believe what I have right here. It's not that difficult. We need to be ready at all times. Look what it says in verse 30. It says, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? You know, you got to learn how to ask questions. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 5, it says, the counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. You know, Proverbs, look, the book of Proverbs, it's an amazing book. The book of Proverbs wasn't written by somebody who just went up to a mountain and, you know, just tried to get some neat sayings. No, this is real life stuff.
Yeah.
This was stuff that they probably endured. They probably had to figure some things out. They figured some things out. They wrote it down in a book. When he says the beginning of wisdom, you know, is the fear of God, he's probably experienced some things. So when we see this, and God is telling you, you have to know how to deal with that person. You have to know how to ask the right questions. You have to know how to engage with that person, because it is kind of like an art. You know, some the way you act with one person is going to be totally different than you act with somebody else, because they respond differently. Not everybody's the same. So you have to try to understand how you get to them, how you can open that door to get a conversation going. It really isn't that difficult, but it does take a little bit of thinking about. You have to know how to ask the right questions. And you know, this person, the Bible says that this Ethiopian was coming from worship. He was coming from church. Sometimes we think, no, people in church don't need the gospel. They already know the gospel. You know, there's people that are lost in church. There's people who have understood the God or not have not understood the gospel correctly. You know, there's people, and especially here, well, really, probably all a bunch of churches. We have people in our church who have come from other churches, and they come in and they're seeking and they're asking questions. We shouldn't automatically assume that they're believers. We got to ask questions. We have to get engaged. We have to be talking to them. But it's something that every single one, you know, some people I can talk to, and they feel at ease with me, than maybe somebody else, right? But that other person who I probably can't get, you know, an open door with, maybe you might have an opportunity. God, I believe God has prepared each one of us for somebody. You just gotta be ready. Another thing, look what it says here in verse 32. It says, the place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. You know, the fourth thing that you have to understand when you're taking the gospel, when you're presented with that opportunity, and God will present you with opportunities, you got to know the scripture. You have to know the book. You got to know how to explain it. And truly, there's questions, and there's certain arguments, you know, probably that's going to take you a little bit more study to figure out. I've been asked questions that I'm thinking, man, how do I answer that? And once I figure out, or once I ask the right person how to answer that question, it's like they never asked me that question again. You know, nobody's ever asked me that question. Come on. But sometimes that does happen. You know, you have to study. You have to know. But when he heard exactly where he was preaching or reading, he started teaching them from that portion of Scripture. A book that was written, you know, what, 600 years before, 700 years before, he knew exactly where he was reading. He knew exactly how to explain, and he knew exactly who he was talking about. It was a prophecy of Jesus Christ, and he spoke to him directly from his book about the Savior. It's not that hard, but we have to know the book. One last thing. Look what it says there in verse 35, at the end, he says, and he preached unto him Jesus. You know, the church isn't about, it isn't about getting stimulated. It isn't about you. It isn't about feeling good. And I think lots of times you and I, we can leave this place, and lots of times when we come here, I think there've been lots of times where I do leave happier and happier, and good to be here. But it doesn't always happen that way. But the church isn't for me, and it isn't for me to feel good about it. The church is, we exist to get educated, obviously, so we can take the gospel to other people. Exactly like Philip did. Philip didn't do anything. Look, he didn't write, you know, hundreds of books that we have in the Bible. He didn't do extremely huge works. No, we have an opportunity. We have a portion in Scripture where we see that Philip went and he evangelized a man. And this guy was an important man, but he wasn't intimidated. He said, you know, he's an important man, but he still needs the gospel. He got saved. He baptized him. Never saw him again. So he fulfilled exactly what he was supposed to do. Being tender to what God wanted him to do. And, you know, I just want to encourage you that it doesn't take missionaries that come from a foreign field or people who've gone to a foreign field. Those are the evangelists. No, I think each one of us needs to rethink it. Each one of us need to understand that God has somebody for you. Amen. You know, I don't. If I ask you right now, think of one person in your life, that one person who is not saved. That is your responsibility. That is your opportunity. And if that person dies, is not your blood upon him, upon that person? If God has put you in a position to open your mouth and speak the truth and you just pass it by, these things aren't that difficult. I just want to encourage all of us that we need to be, we need to look at this and not be so overwhelmed. Amen. We just need to be more in tune with God and use exactly what he's given us. He has given us a church. He's given us a book. He's given us teachers. He's given us people who have been instructing us for years. Now it's up to us to actually get up and do something. Amen.
Let's stand.